you know. It's important. Okay, I'm going to give you a treat tonight. The Chavad, our special guests, and our regulars, and the Chavad, the Yontif. You know, we're holding in Shmon Esrei. I'm going to share with you some insights in the Al HaNisim. Okay. Now, if you'll have one of those for me, Kevin, I would be very happy. You see, this is not a video, you know, and they'll never see it, you know. I have them in my car all the time, you know, especially get stuck in traffic like this. What am I going to do? You know, I can't listen to Kornheiser all day. All right, you hear? So here we got. On page 112, we're going to do Al HaNisim. All right? Look at the beginning, you know, it says the Al HaNisim. You know, there's two different girsas, two different texts. Some people have after modim. This is, the end is hodah. Hodah means what? Right? It is the part of the benedictions, of the Shemon Esrei, of the 18 brachas, that's known as hodah. It's thanksgiving. It's acknowledging, you know, the Almighty. It's thanking Him, you hear, for that which He will respond to our blessing, or our bakashas, our request. Remember what I told you. The first part of Shemon Esrei are shvachos, are praises of God. Right? You talk about His greatness. The middle part is the part of the what? Bakashos, the requests. The last part, right, from Ritzei, speaks about hodah, thanksgiving and acknowledgement for that which God gives us. And in the hodah, the chachamim inserted, the rabbis inserted, a bracha of hodah, a unit of hodah, of thanksgiving, on a national scale regarding the miracle of Chanukah. All right? Now, there are two different texts. One of them is Al HaNisim, and the other text is Vi Al HaNisim. You see the two different ones? Right? Al HaNisim, and the other one is Vi Al HaNisim. Right? One is Ve and upon the miracles, and the other one is Al HaNisim upon the miracles. Right? The difference between the two of them is a what? Is a Vav. Okay? Okay. That's, now, it's interesting that the Al HaNisim has 124 words, okay? Okay, 124 words, if you add them all up, right, it should come out to 124 words. 124 words is the numerical value of Yochanan. Yochanan is the what? Was the Kohen Gadol, right? Right? Yochanan Kohen Gadol, right? And right, so therefore, the reason why it has 124 is Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So it comes out to the gematria of Yochanan. Some people had 125 words in the Al HaNisim. I don't know what was the difference, you know, what that one word was. And so the gematria of 125 is Kohanim. They were all called Kohanes, right? We mentioned it Shabbos morning. So if you have 124, then the gematria of the numerical value is Yochanan. If it is what, 125, then you have the gematria, the numerical value of 125, which adds up to what? Kohanim. Okay? Seth, you're a Kohen? Yes, so this is especially important for you. Okay? All right? So this is a very, you know, this is your Yontif, right? The Kohanim, you know, not the leadership. That didn't go over so well, but the Kohanim part you hear, that was fine and well. Okay? All right. Now we have Al HaNisim, the Al HaPurkan. Right, and for the miracles, right, at page 112, the Al HaPurkan, right, and for the salvation, yeah, v'al ha'gvuros, and on the mighty deeds, v'al ha'tshuos, and also for the victories, v'al ha'mechamos, and for the battles, sh'asisa la'voseinu, that you did for our forefathers, b'yamim ha'heim, in those days, bizman hazeh, at this time. What you did for them, b'yamim ha'heim, in those days, right? Right, bizman hazeh, at this time, okay? Now, what does it mean by yomim ahem, at that time, bizman hazeh, at this, right? Those days, at this time. What does it mean, those days, at this time? What is the double language, those days, right? It would suffice just to say, for the miracles and victories that you did for them, by yomim ahem, at those times. So there is an interesting, as an Orach HaShulchan says, by yomim ahem bazman hazeh, he says, the Magen Avraham says that it should have said uvizman hazeh. The text was sh'asa nisim lavoseinu by yomim ahem uvizman hazeh. At that time, right, at those days, uvizman hazeh, and this time. He puts in a what? A vav. And what is the necessity of the vav? He says like this. He says that the Ika miracle that the Chashmonaim did was not on that day of the 25th of Kislev, right? That time, that miracle of the military victory extended over a very long time. You know, it didn't happen in one day. So by Yomim Ahem, the miracles and all that you did by Yomim Ahem in those days covers a period of what, gentlemen? A period of time. Bizman hazeh, uvizman hazeh, and at this time, refers to the miracle of what, gentlemen? The miracle of the oil. There were two miracles that we commemorate on Hanukkah. The first miracle we commemorate is what? The miracle of the military victory. You will see in the Al Hanisim that the military victory is the thing that takes, you understand, prominence. Not the miracle of the Ner Hanukkah. The Ner Hanukkah is the way in which the miracle is publicized. But the Al Hanisim speaks, Rabin Biyad Matin, many in the hands of few. Right? Chaloshim, the strong ones were able to vanquish the what? The weak ones were able to vanquish the strong ones, right? Right, giborim biad chaloshim, temeim, those that were defiled, biad tahorim, they were given over to those in whose hands they were pure. And so what we have here are all expressions of the physical strength and miracles that God provided for the Jewish people of a military and a physical fashion. And the question is, then why do we have the miracle of the Ner Hanukkah? Why is that, you know, the prominent miracle that's given such, you know, influence and expression on the Yontif of Hanukkah? And to understand that, there is a Maralmi Prague. The Maralmi Prague says that the reason why the Ner Hanukkah is the symbol of the great miracle of Hanukkah is because the military victory that the Jewish people secured, yeah, was a concern that the people would not be able to discern and understand that it was the Yad Hashem, the hand of God, that brought about that great miracle. Like any military victory, there's always a fear that it would be attributed, you understand, to cunning. It was attributed, you know, to greater, you know, strategy. It would be attributed to greater courage, the Six-Day War, right? Very simply could have been dismissed, as many people did, as not the Yad Hashem, the hand of God. But I remember so vividly the Six-Day War, where the Egyptians were faulted for their failure of courage, their lack of resolve, the fact that they fled, you understand, before an advancing Israeli, you know, onslaught, even though the Israelis were outnumbered, possibly. But the Egyptians fled. Do you remember that so vividly, how they left everything behind? And who is to say that they fled, you understand, because they lacked courage? Or maybe they fled because God put terror in their hearts. And that's always the downfall of an army, is their lack of resolve and their lack of courage. But who says where it comes from? Is it intrinsic or extrinsic? Maybe the Almighty, you know, gave them that fear, put that fear into their heart. And so if we succeeded, it could have very well been, and without question was, Siyata Dishmaya. It was help from above, and who is to say otherwise? But the record does not read that. I remember Life magazine with the pictures, you know, of the victorious Israeli soldiers. And so they were very afraid, the Chachamim, that the history would read that this was a victory that was not secured by the Yad Hashem, the hand of God, but rather it was a military victory fashioned by courageous and brave soldiers on the battlefield. And for that reason did the Chachamim wait a year until they established the Yontif of Hanukkah. They waited a year, unlike Purim. Purim was established that very same year, that very same time, that very same day that the miracle happened. They were secure in the knowledge that the Jews understood that the nature of the miracle was the Yad Hashem, the hand of God. And so therefore there was no fear in establishing it as a Yontif. However, the Yontif of Hanukkah brought with it a certain concern that because of the fact that it was secured through a military victory, that the history would read that it was the valor of the Hashmonaim and not the Yad Hashem that provided them with this victory. And so they waited a year. And the Maral Miprag says that the reason why the miracle of the Ner Hanukkah, the lights of the Hanukkah, was given to us, it was given to us by God as an unequivocal symbol that nobody could have disputed, that the menorah lit for a period of 8 days without godly intervention. That could not be attributed to anything but to the hand of God. And as the miracle of the lights of Hanukkah undisputably was the presence of God, so too it was to reflect. The light of the menorah was to reflect upon the entire events of the era, that everything that was secured was through the Yad Hashem, the hand of God. The Ner Hanukkah is our symbol with which we are able to observe the Yontif, for this sets the tone and the understanding of the entire period. That even the military victory was an expression of the Yad Hashem, the hand of God. Okay? And so what we have here is Bayomim Ahem, in those days that God brought about a military victory, which we do not make light of. The whole Alan Nisim speaks about what? The military victory. But it is in the context of what? You, God, with your great compassion, brought this about. So we give credit to the Almighty. And Basman Hazeh goes on the what? The miracle of the Ner Hanukkah. The military victory was over a period of time. The Ner Hanukkah was one day. Basman Hazeh, this particular day, the 25th of the month of Kislev, was the first day that the miracle of the Ner Hanukkah expressed itself. Okay? Does anybody have any questions on that? Very important piece to understand. Okay? There is also a... another interpretation, that every yontif that God brings to the Jewish people is a yontif, right, that we observe not only because of the history of that particular time, but because of the influence that that yontif has upon our own conduct and behavior every single calendar period. For example, the Yantif of, I was just speaking to Sheldon this morning, we were talking about this, the Yantif of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? Shani Yom Kippur is not only a period of historical atonement when the Jewish people were forgiven for the act of the golden calf, and that became then the period of time when we observe the day of Yom Kippur because of that historical moment, but rather every time that calendar period expresses itself on the Jewish calendar, every year when that comes to the 10th of the month of Tishrei, that is a time when the spirit from above, God's influence from above, makes it so that we are most responsive and the time is most conducive to do tshuva, to repent. Shavuos is not only a commemoration and celebration of the Yontif, of the giving of the Torah, but it is a time when we are drawn closest to God in the commitment and the study of Torah. The Yontif of Pesach, Zaman Cheruseinu, the Yontif that talks about our nationhood, talks about our freedom, the concept of the Klal Yisrael, those principles of the Yontif of Pesach are best suited and are most keenly felt during the Yontif of Pesach. Sukkis, Zaman Simchaseinu, if there is a feeling of joy and euphoria, if there's something special about the Yontif of Sukkis to us, it's not just because we observe the Yontif of Sukkis on this calendar day in the month of Tishrei, it's because from above a spirit is sent down to our people by which that emotion of joy is most felt during this period of time. And so therefore the Yontif of Chanukah that draws us close to God, as the Yontif, you know, that commemorates the great miracle and recognizes his wondrous hand, it is by Yom Mahim, the miracle that happened at those days, Bazman Hazeh, at this time, that each and every year we are drawn closer to God in the feeling and expression and understanding of this particular Yontif, that every single year the events of those days become most felt Bazman Hazeh, at this time. And that's why you have the double language by Yom Mahim to talk about the miracle that happened in those days, but every single year we are able to emotionally relive that event. We are able to emotionally relive that event at this particular time in the calendar. And it's just important to have to tell you, you know, sometimes we really don't feel it. And if we don't feel it, it's not because the Yontif has failed us, but we have failed the Yontif. You know, we really don't put ourselves into the Yontif. You know, we really don't prepare for a Yontif and fully appreciate, you know, the Yontif and, understand and do what we should get the most that we can from the particular Yontif at hand. And in general, it's something to work on. Okay, does anybody have any other questions on this? Okay. Al Hanisim speaks as follows, right? I think that answers by Yom Mahim Bazman Hazeh. Now we're up Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. In the days of Matisyo, the son of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Chashmonoi Ubonov, the Chashmonoim and his children, Kishomda Machlus Yovan Harishal Amcha Yisrael, when the wicked government of Yavon, right, of the Hellenists, of the Greeks, right, Kishomda, when they stood up against, yeah, your nation Israel, Lashkicham Torasecha, what did they seek to do? What was the first onslaught, what they do? How do they beat the Jewish people? Steve, Zagmir, how do you try to beat the Jewish people? Tell me, how do you beat us? What do you got to do? You got to beat us on the battlefield? Anech the Getug. What do you do? I want you to know, my Rebbe many years ago in a Blatshir told me that he read that they found a document written by Hitler, the Yimach Shemo, to his field generals as the waning days of the war were upon him, recognizing that the chances of the German victory had fallen, And he was a rabid anti-Semite, to say the least. And his objective that this was war against God. And this was not a war against the Jewish people alone. It was a war against God. And how do you wage war against God? You go ahead and sacrifice his children. Simple. Very simple. He was not insane. He was a Russia. A Russia, you know, as we've met many times. Antiochus was such a Russia. Haman was such a Russia. They were not crazy. Not crazy people. They were people, you know, that were possessed and people that had a mission. They came from Amalek and they had their purpose. Haman came from Amalek. Amalek's not crazy. Okay? And what was his directive to his field people? Round up all the rabbis. Inasmuch as we cannot kill all the Jews, kill the rabbis. Kill the rabbis and the teachers. If we will kill their rabbis and their teachers, we will effectively have killed the Jewish people anyway. That's not a madman. That's not a lunatic. That's a person that understood the Jews quite well. Quite well. Esav understands Yaakov. Esav sones Yaakov. He hates Yaakov. He knows how to wage battle against us, as Amalek did. And therefore the directive to destroy the Jews. It is very, very interesting. There was a limited number of visas that were able to be secured in Europe to give to people to come to America. The Gedolim, Reb Chaim Ozer among them, who was able to get people outside of Europe, the first priority was to get the Jewish leadership out when it was beyond any hope that they could have been effective anymore. And they were sent to America, specifically with the purpose of securing and rebuilding Torah in America. Many of their families perished in Europe. And they built, Torah was rebuilt. All the Hasidic communities that we have today continue with their name that they had in Europe. Hungary. The yeshivas are all called the same yeshivas, the names, both in America and in Israel, of the original names that they were in Europe. There was Mir, right? There was Telz, there was Kamenetz, Slabotka. These were all the yeshivas that existed in Europe, that came to the shores of Israel and America for the continuity and purpose to rebuild Torah. And so the objective of the Alanisim, the first thing he wanted to do, Antiochus, was what? Vashkicham Torah Secha. Most interesting, what does the word Lashkicham mean? This is the Chassan Sofer. Chassan Sofer, you know, was from the family, you know, of the Chassam Sofer, right? I think he was the grandson. And they had a yeshiva also, Matistov, which today is called the Matistov Yeshiva. It's in Hungary. And what is the word Lahashkicham Torah Secha? What does it mean? Lahashkicham Torah Secha means to make their Torah what? Forgotten. It didn't say Levatlam Torah Secha. What does the word Levatlam mean? To negate, to abrogate. To be Mevatel means to abolish. What do you do with Chametz on Pesach when you go ahead and you say that tefillah in the morning right before Pesach? What do you do with your chametz? It's called being mevatel. What does mevatel mean? To disown, to negate, ka'afra diara, like the what? The dust of the earth. That's what it should have said in the Alanisim, that their objective was levatlam, to destroy, like the chametz, from your Torah. But that's not what it says. It says lahashkicha mitorah secha. And what does it mean? You see, the Yevanim didn't want to kill the Jews, unlike Hitler. The Yevanim were much cleverer. The Yevanim, what they wanted to do was to keep the intellectualism of Torah. But they didn't want to do what? Keep the sanctity of Torah. It was a tremendous intellectual exercise. But it didn't want to secure it and remain it as the domain and function of service of God. And so they wanted them, lahashkicham Torah secham, make them forget their Torah. It wasn't to destroy them from Torah, but rather to make it only something that would be a course. You know, you can go to University of Maryland, take a course in Talmud. Talmud 101. You don't have to make a bracha, Ashek Yisram Yisvan Lassot B'Divrei Sora, when you take a course in college of Talmud 101. That is not for the purpose of learning Torah. That's what the Greeks wanted to do. That's what the Yevanim wanted to do. Lahashkicham Torah Secha. They wanted that the Jews should forget your Torah. Your Torah God. They liked the intellectualism. It was very, very profound. But it's not what they wanted to do. The purity of Torah they wanted to defile. Okay? Okay. There's a... The next words it says, Lashkicham Torah Secha, Ulahavira Mechuke Ritzonecha, to make them forget your Torah, make the Jews forget your Torah, God, ulahaviram, and make them violate, mechuke ritzonecha, to violate the statutes, right, of your will. In other words, first what would they do? We would forget God's Torah. And then when we forget our God's Torah, then what comes in its wake? Then we are mevatel, then we do not do his mitzvahs. Right? I always said, and this I saw written in print, subsequent. I want you to know. You know, Rabbi Feinstein did very few averis in his life, if any. Very few. Chofetz Chaim did very few. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did very few. Yeah, the Stipler Rav did very few averis. Why did they do so few averis? Why? You tell me why. Tell me, Seth. Why?
Extremely well versed in Torah.
Extremely well.
They didn't have time.
You know how you do an Avera? I'll tell you how you do an Avera. First, before you do an Avera, you have to plot the Avera. It's the Sof Maaseh, the end, right, which is deed, B'machshava Tchila. You know where we say that? L'chadodi. Sof Maaseh B'machshava Tchila. The end result of deed begins with what? Thought. You just don't all of a sudden, you know, start doing something. Nobody starts, you know, knee-jerk reaction. Whenever you do a chet, a transgression, when you do something, there's a plot. There is a directive to the mind that tells you, yeah, this is okay. Let's put it into action. And the limbs fulfill the will of the person. You know what the Rambam says? You know what all thoughts, illicit thoughts, immoral thoughts that we have? You know where it comes from? It's from a head that's empty. Habor reik ein bo mayim. The pit is empty. It has no water in it, you know? The brain is empty. When the brain is empty, so that other things, you know, get in. If your brain is filled, you understand, and you're always thinking about positive things, there's no room in there. There's like it says here, occupied. You know, you want, right? It says occupied. You know what occupied means, Reb Marshall? Yeah? It's occupied. Once there's a sign occupied, it don't get in. It's closed. Store closed. Can't come. The secret of all of the success and greatness of these great rabbis did not mean because they had greater willpower than us. Maybe not. But you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. They never permitted the thing to become a crisis to begin with. They never fought the battle and got into the ring with the Yetzer Hara to begin with. They always kept him at arm's length. Never let him get into a clinch with them. Never let them get the reach in there. Never fought them, you know, toe to toe. They never took on the adversary. Why? Because their mind was always occupied. They're always thinking in Torah. If they're always thinking in Torah, they never got into trouble. The only one who gets into trouble is the one, you know, that has free time. What's going to happen? You'll be Yoshe Butl, and the worst things happen from somebody that's not what? Not engaged, not involved. It's an Avera. If you are a rich man, Marshall tells me, Rabbi, I hit it rich. I came into $3 million. I want to give up my job. I say, Marshall, no. Under no circumstance you give up your job. That is the worst thing you can do, is to give up your job. Just like Howie when he's thinking about, you know what I mean? Yeah, maybe, Rabbi, this is going to be the last time around the block for me, you know? Yeah, but it's not going to happen. Yoshe Butl, a person that sits non-occupied, is a person that's sending out an invitation to disaster. That's a bracha. B'zeyas apecha tochem lechem. With the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to eat bread. Was a blessing to us, was not a curse. It is because being Yoshe Butl, not being occupied, is the worst curse. So what did they do? L'hashkicham Torah Secha. They wanted us to take us away from Torah. Be mevatel the Torah. And when the Torah is taken from us, then what happens? U'la'avira mechukei ritzonecha. On the heels of that comes what? That we are taken away. We begin to violate the statutes of your will. I always tell you the famous story of the Shai Gesari. Shai Gesari lived very, very long time, well over in his 90s. The Shai Gesari, you know, was dying. The Chevra Kadisha came to visit him, you know, and they said to him, Rebbe, as customary, it's time to say what? What does a person do before he dies? Before he's dying, what do they say with him? Vidoy, the confessional, right? And so they say, Rebbe, Shoin Seitz is Ogin Vidoy. You know, he was a great man, the Shai Gesari. He didn't panic out from that. He looked him in the eye and said, gentlemen, he says, I have no Vidoy that I have to say. I never sinned in my life. I never did anything wrong. I never had the time. He says, who had the time? I never had the time to sin. It was a luxury. I couldn't afford it. I didn't have the time. I was always involved in learning. That's the secret. Yes, Seth. You want to stay out of trouble, Seth? Learn. That's it. Is that beautiful? So you have here a two-step process. Hashicham Torasecha, ulahavira mechukei ritzonecha. That is the 1-2 punch. That is the way they sought to what? Disengage the Jewish people. Okay? Vato barachamecha harabim. And you, Almighty God, barachamecha harabim, with your great what? Compassion. Okay? The Satmar Rebbe. Okay? See, Sheldon, I run the gamut. I am very liberal. You know, quote Satmar Rebbe. Right? See that? I'm a misnagid of the first order. I come from yeshiva, that's the here, the biggest of the misnagid. Okay? But I'm a universal man. Right? Right? Please don't say a word, Howie. Anyway, yeah? Howie, not a word from you. I'll never forgive you. Anyway, yeah? So here the Satmar Rebbe, yeah, says like this. The word vi'atah is an unnecessary word. Because we are talking about God, because it says over here, if you read it, yeah, Kishad the Machad al Amcha Yisrael, on your nation Israel. Who are we talking to when we say You had the days of Matisyo ben Yochanan called the Gadol. Kishon l'machadro al Amcha Yisrael. Who's Amcha? Who are we talking to, Howie? God. Right, when they wanted to stand up and they lorded over your nation, Israel. So we're already talking to who? God. So you don't have to say V'ata and you, God, in your compassion. Leave the word V'ata and say what? Barachamecha harabim, in your great compassion. Why do you have to say V'ata and you? That's the Satmar Rebbe's question. The Satmar Rebbe gave a very, very, very beautiful, beautiful answer. He said, V'ata and you, Barachamecha harabim, that every aspect and every single thing that was done during this period of time was totally the intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Almighty God. The idea to wage war against the Yevanim was inspired from above. I must tell you that this period of time was in many ways far worse than the period of time that the Jews experienced with Haman. During the period of Haman, the Jews were united. So everybody was subject to the decree of the destruction. There was none that was exempted, like Hitler. He exempted no Jew, rich, poor, educated, non-educated, assimilated, not assimilated, religious, non-religious, make no difference. You're a Jew, and that was it. The Yevanim, you understand, had a whole different approach. They didn't seek to subjugate us and to destroy us. They wanted to acculturate us. And there were many, many Jews that became Hellenists. And the reason why that first year was not a yontif is because many Jews were killed in these battles. Killed not by the Yevanim. There was civil war. And even those who did not embrace the Hellenists were of the opinion that the Hashmonoim were not correct in pursuing an aggressive battle against the Yevanim. They felt that the military year was not an option. Things will change. Things will get better. So what if they decree there's no Shabbos, there's no, and they close the yeshivas and the day schools down? We'll live to see a better day. Today it's Antiochus, maybe he'll die. Maybe he'll be assassinated. Maybe he'll get sick. Something will happen. Maybe the next one who'll take over will be better. Huh? You know, Antiochus took over after who? Who did he take over after? You know, Antiochus took over after? Who was the great? Who was it? Alexander the Great. Antiochus took over after Alexander the Great. There'll be another one. There'll be a great leader that'll take over here. This is not what we want. Let's not put our lives in harm's way. Let us now not watch. Throw it all. If we lose, we'll all get killed. Let's wait it out. How did they have the presence of mind? Where did they get the inspiration from that it was time to do battle? That we'll put it all on the line and we'll fight them to the end. Where did they get it from, Marshall? How did they marshal their resources to be able to know that this was a battle at this point and moment in time that was worth to expose the Jewish people to, God forbid, destruction by picking up arms and fighting them physically? Your father didn't want to kill us. Let's wait. They're not there with a bullet or gun to our heads. Why should we go out to battle? Where did it come from? You know where it came from? They had Ruach HaKodesh. They had divine wisdom. Almighty God sent to them the spirit by which they were able to understand that this was a time to do battle. Everything that they did was done because of the greatness, the spirituality. They were Chassid Elyon, like who said, the Ramban. They were the righteous people of the generation, and the Almighty spoke to them and inspired them divinely and gave them the wherewithal, the understanding that they knew that God had communicated to them that the right thing to do was to do battle. And so therefore, the word V'ator, and you, God, Barachemecha HaRabin. The reason we say, and you, God, we accentuate the word V'ator, is because in every one of these steps that were taken to secure Jewish sovereignty, it was not just the general Rachmanis that God has for us, but it was the divine wisdom and God's spirit that descended upon them that gave them the understanding and the directive to wage the battles and to secure the peace. And that's why it says here an extra word, what? The Atah, and you, God, Barachemecha HaRabim. We are injecting God directly into this because God's presence in an overt fashion was critical to the success of this endeavor. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Rafta es Rivam. What happened? What did God do for us? You stood by them at the time of their woe. Rafta es Rivam. Right? What does Rafta es Rivam did? You took up their grievance. Danto es Dinam. You judged their claim. Nakamto es Nikmasam. You avenged their wrong. Okay? These are languages of God's what? Intervention on their behalf. And I would like to explain a little bit of art that I saw from Tamei Minhagim. You know, by Tamei Minhagim brings down a very, very beautiful thing. Very beautiful. And maybe we could associate it with this, another piece. Do you know that the Graga, you know how we hold the Graga? How do we hold the Graga? On the bottom. How do we hold the dreidel? On the top. You know, even Jewish games are not games. You know, the Chassam Sofer had a silver menorah, a silver dreidel commissioned. You know, there's a special mitzvah to have a menorah that's beautiful. Beautiful menorah. You know, people spend money on silver, elaborate silver menorahs. And silver menorahs is a mitzvah. Now, don't break your bank to get a silver menorah. Please, Brian, don't do it. Go home, tell your wife, it's not going to play good, you know. Your hair shall say, don't come to this class again, you know what I mean? But I just want you to know, the silver menorah, you know, if somebody has the means, and somebody will say, Rabbi, should I spend $1,000 on a silver menorah? I said, yes. I have no problem with spending it. If you've got money, yeah, it's better than to go ahead and buy something, you know, in the house. You know, you spend $1,000, you know, interior decorating, you know, chandelier, you know what I mean? Spend it on a silver menorah. Zeke Levi Andeo. He's down in Halacha that a menorah should be beautiful. Anyway, the Graga you hold way on the bottom. The dreidel you hold on top. The Chassam Sofer had a silver dreidel commission. Because it's a mini Yisrael to play dreidel, and he played dreidel. Chassam Sofer played dreidel. He also learned a lot also, gentlemen. Didn't just play dreidel the whole day. Anyway, yeah. So this dreidel is held from the top. The Tamei Minhagim says the reason why the dreidel is held from the top and the Graga is held from the bottom is because the miracle of Hanukkah was an overt miracle. It left nothing to the imagination. One saw the Yad Hashem, the hand of God, especially manifest in the wat, in the menorah, in the lighting of the candle that had lasted 8 days. The whole time was a wondrous time where the miracle of God was a nes gadol, your revealed miracle. The nes of Purim was a nes nistar. It was a hidden miracle. It was obscured. It was a nes that was what? From below. It did not appear to come from where? Above. It was revealed by the Chachamim and understood by the people to be the hand of God, but it was obscure. It was God working in the diaspora in a much more veiled and concealed fashion. Therefore, the Grager is held from the what? From the bottom. And the dreidel is held from the what, gentlemen? The top. To show the difference of the miracle. Why am I telling you this pshat? Well, a little bit tongue-in-cheek. To those people that spin the dreidel on the bottom, they don't do correctly. You know, there are some people that turn it around. Do you know what I'm talking about, Steve? Right? You know what I'm doing? They want to spin it on its head, right, rather than on the there? They don't do right, because what they're basically doing is they're turning around the intention of the game with the chacham. But I'm not spinning it. All right? But the way we hold the dreidel, now, there is a pshat that's also brought down in time in Hamminhagim, that we say, Raftes Rivam Danto Estinam, God, you avenged, you know, our cause, right, and you are involved, you know, in our din, our judgment, you judged our judgment. In Purim, the bracha that we make after the reading of the Megillah, if you remember, is Harav Es Rivenu. God who fought Rivenu, our battle. Hadon Es Dinenu. Right? However, here we say what? Not Rav Es Rivenu, but, right? Ravta Es Rivam. Different language. And the Tamei Minhagim brings down, in Purim, the miracle was secured by the Jewish people. What brought about the miracle of the Yontif of Purim? It was our tefillas and our fasting. Lech kinosas kol hayudim, gather all the Jews. How did the Jews bring about their own salvation during the times of Haman? How? By their own intervention. It was by their own activity. By their own performance, by their tshuva, their repentance. This brought it about. And therefore the initiative and spirit of their salvation was affected how? Not only the miracle appeared to be obscured, but on a more positive note in a certain sense, the spirit of their salvation was achieved from themselves. God did it. But we were the catalyst. How did we create this miracle? How was it achieved? Not solely by God's intervention, but by our tefillos that brought about that response by the Almighty. Not so the miracle of Hanukkah. The miracle of Hanukkah was exclusively the domain of the rachamim, of the compassion of God from above. It was not our intervention from below, but rather was God's compassion solely from above. And therefore it says, here God was Harav Es Rivenu. By Purim it's Rav Es Rivenu. It is God together with us. There by Hanukkah, it was solely the Almighty from above who intervened and showed his compassion to save us. It's interesting, you know, that there is no record, you know, where on Hanukkah, you understand, where there is something that was done. We fast before Purim because this is the fast that, right, that Esther Hamalka called. It was what we did. Shalachmanis is what we reached out to, what make the Jews unified as one. Matanis Lev Yonim. It was a time of goodwill where we unified the Jewish people and brought about our own salvation. Not so Hanukkah. We have no observance on Hanukkah that marked something that changed the attitude and behavior of the Jews that merited the miracle. The miracle was solely the product of the intervention of God's pure compassion to save his people. And if you understand it a little bit, you could appreciate it in the context of the times. Because during the Yavanim, the Jews themselves were at odds with each other. To the end, they were not unified. To the end, there were Jews that felt what? That the Hashmonaim did not do correctly and should not have taken the military option. There were Jews that became Hellenists. There were Jews that fought Jews. It was a yontif, a period of time that the victory was tainted because there was no unanimity. In the times of Haman, we were unified as one. The enemy was understood. Everybody was able to mobilize and to bring themselves together in recognition of the common enemy that they faced. Not so by the Yavanim. The enemy many times was Jew against Jew. And therefore it was Barachamecha Harabim. It was God Rafta es rivam, danta es dinam. A different language because it was a different miracle. A miracle where God's intervention was required on a much different level than it was with Bipurim. Bipurim, we brought it in. And therefore, what did Bipurim? Therefore, it came from below. Whereas the Yontif of what? The Yontif of Hanukkah was inspired solely from what, gentlemen? From above. And maybe that's why the dreidel is spun. Another reason we spin the dreidel from the what? From the top. And we hold the gragda from the bottom. Not only to show the difference in the type of miracle, but also the cause, the events that led up to the miracle. By Purim, it was an inspiration from below, where we initiated and created, you hear, the events to unfold by our tshuva, our repentance, and our good deeds. Not so by Hanukkah. It was solely done from above that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened on our behalf. Yes.